Good morning. Today's daf in Yom Nun Zion. We're in Vav Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. We're going to be starting with the words Vizami Menol Aparoches Keneged Aron Mi Bachot. So we're up to the second set of sprinklings. First set of azals are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So shechted the par, went through the hazav of the par, then shechted the seir and did the hazav of the seir in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now we just went through a couple of dapim where we went through that in significant detail in terms of how the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing that. And now we're going back out into the Heichal where the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing the Hazaz opposite the Parochis. On the Parochis, so stay tuned. That's going to be part of today's daf. But opposite the Parochis, he's going to be facing the Parochis. He's going to be facing westbound. He'll be facing the Aron. And he'll be doing Hazaz. The Hazaz that he does on the Parochis will be the same format as the Hazaz that he did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, opposite the Aron, or in the second base of Mikdash, opposite the area where the Aron once was. Good. That is, and that's going to be our daf today. A good part of our daf today, about half our daf today is going to be dealing with a couple of cases of Sfekos, so it'll be a little bit of a, it'll be a little bit mind-racking in terms of the second half of the daf today. But anyway, good, that's what we have to look forward to, Tana Rabbanan. So we start with a Brisa. Brisa over here is going to give clear instruction in terms of how the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing the Hazah opposite the Paroches. So we start with the Pasuk, V'chein Yasa Lo Al Moed. So the same thing is done, Lo Al Moed. So the Torah's instructions over here are actually very clear. That the Hazah that's done opposite the Paroches is going to be same, ditto. So Matam Lomar, Kishem Shemaz Lefnev Lefnev, Kach Mazah Beheichal, Ma Lefnev Lefnev, Achas Amala V'sheva Lamata, midama par kach mazeh beheichal uchesheim shlefnei v'lefnim achas amal v'shev v'lamata midama seir kach mazeh beheichal. Good. So the drasha over here pretty straightforward, and that it's just like it's 1 and 7 by the par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Same thing in the heich. Same thing opposite the parochus, and the same thing with the goat. 1 and 7 by the goat in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Same thing by the parochus. Hashocheni tam besoch tumosam. And over here, the Gemara is going to quote the end of the Brisa. The end of the Brisa, it does not seem to be relevant to our discussion, but Akash Baruch Hu is with us, B'toch Tumasam, while we're Tame. And the Gemara over here gives us just a little piece of Agarata, uplifting Agarata. And that is, Afilo B'shah Shehin Tameyim Shechina Imahem. Even when the Jewish people are in a state of Tumah, Akash Baruch Hu is still going to be with us. Akash Baruch Hu does not leave us, even though we are in a state of Tumah. Okay. Now, Amalei Otsduki, the Gemara has a quick follow-up on this piece of Agarata. So there was a Tzduki who has a conversation with Rabbi Chanina, and he says, Hashta, Bari Tamei Nason. So he says, look, you Jewish people, you're in a state of Tumah. And he says, and I'll cite you Psukim and Tanakh. We find this all the time. The Tzdukim are going to be citing sources. They're going to be citing Psukim from the Navi. So, and the Pasuk says, Tumasa Bishuleha, that you are Tamei Bishuleha, literally in the hems of your garments. And so the Navi in Eicha, right, forecasting the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Not only we're going to be losing the Beis HaMikdash, but we're also going to be in a state of Tumah. And so the Tzduki says to this Rabbi Chanina, right, to break his spirit. He says, look, you people in a state of Tumah. So Amalei, so he has an answer, Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina says back to Tzduki, Tachazi maksiv bahu, ashochini tam besoch tumah sam. Afilu bezman shein tamayim shechina shuri beinehem. Good, so he has our drasha. Yeah, you're right. No argument. We're Tamei. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still is with us, even though we are in that state of Tumah. Okay. Good. We're returning now back to the discussion regarding the Hazaos. So we just learned the first part of the Brisa, that the Hazaos that are done in the Heichal, opposite the Parochis, are going to be just like the Hazaos that are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara is going to be bothered over here. We're going to be spending just a couple of lines together on an extraordinarily technical question. In order to understand the technical question, so let's go back to Zvachim and the rules we learned in Zvachim. So we know that there are many different ways in which the Torah is expounded. You give Momidah Shaitar Nujashas Bahem, and even though the number is 13, it's not capped at 13. There actually are many other ways that the Torah is expounded upon. You'll notice that of the 13, Hekesh isn't even mentioned. Okay, so there are numerous ways in which the Torah is expounded. Gzeir Shava Binyanav Kavachomer, Hekesh, just to quote a few. Now, generally speaking, right, we've gone through enough Gemara, we know that this kind of methodology is a way of transmitting halacha from one area to another area. Okay, it's It's basically what we spend most of our time doing when learning Torah Shebaal Peh. When it comes to Kachim, so Kachim is bound by certain rules that don't exist anywhere outside of the arena of Kachim. So notably, when it comes to Kachim, so you can learn in Hekesh, Kzeir, Shava, Binyanav, Kavachama, you could do that, but you can't compound one drasha on top of another drasha. So you can't do a Hekesh on top of a Hekesh, and you can't do Kzeir, Shava on top of Kzeir, Shava, and, mixing and matching also, for the most part, is out of the question. You can't do a Binyanav, follow them by Kzeir, Shava, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, the Gemara in Zvachim goes extensively, with detail, through these rules of how you cannot make compound drushas as it relates to Kachim. Good. That's what we learned back in Zvachim. And now the Gemara is bothered. Now, I'll set it up outside, so you get to see the question clearly outside, and then we'll read inside. Over here, you remember, yesterday's daf? It was, truth be told, it wasn't yesterday's daf. It was 2 days ago, daf min hey. So how do we know that the numbers are 1 and 7? So what we did is that we made a hekesh. In other words, the Torah wasn't by the par, didn't tell us how much is lamala. They only said lamata. And by the seir, the Torah only said what was lamala, but not lamata. And then what we did is we filled in the boxes. So, using a hekesh. So we took the number from the par lamata and we transferred it over to the seir. And we took the number from the seir lamala, we transferred it over to the par. That's what we did a couple days ago. And we did it via hekesh. Good. Now, what we just learned today is that those numbers that we learned on the inside, we're going to now take them to the outside. How are we going to do that? We also have a hekesh as well. And so basically what just happened is that we have a compound drasha. And the Gemara says, and you're not allowed to do that. And how are we doing that? Obviously, the Avodas Yom Kippur is Kachim, and you're not allowed to do a double drasha. So how are we doing that over here? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's going to give a couple of answers. It's going to be a short discussion of the Gemara. So, hi. No, let me go back one line. And that's the Gemara's question. We're compound darshaning. So the Gemara says, hi. So the Gemara says, well, there are two ways to approach this. Approach number one is that first hekesh, that's not a hekesh. Right, let's not call that a hekesh. Why? Because basically we have most of the information. We're just filling in a detail. All right, the way the Gemara describes it is, so heimenu v'davar acher. Basically, look, we more or less know exactly what to do with the Dam, the Par, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're just missing one detail. How much lamala? All right, so we're filling that in. That's not a hekesh. A hekesh is, let's say, for the example, the Torah. Everything I'm saying right now is Rashi. I'm paraphrasing. Let's say the Torah didn't say any hazos by the par, and we're learning all that from the seer. That's a hekesh. But over here, if we got most of the information and we're just filling in one of the boxes, one of the details, that's not a hekesh. Good. So if that doesn't qualify as a hekesh, so it's not compound hekesh, because the first one isn't really a hekesh. So the Gemara says, okay, Hanich Laman D'Amar Lo Have Hekesh, Laman D'Amar Have Hekesh, Maik Lameimar. So the Gemara says, you know, it happens to be that this very issue of what qualifies as Hekesh and what doesn't qualify as a Hekesh, so that you can't compound Darshan. So the Gemara says, it happens to be, this is up for a Machlokas. Once again, go back to those Gemaras in Zvachim. And this issue, is actually, open to a debate. And so fine. So if you follow this line of reasoning, that first one is not really a hekesh, it's just filling in the blanks. Okay, fine, that's great. But there happens to be another opinion over there in the Gemara in Zvachim. So Rashi says this in the Ezehu Makom on Perek. So if you happen to be of the position that this does in fact qualify as a full blown hekesh, so now we're back to square one, meaning now it's a compound hekesh. So the Gemara says like this. We're going to give two answers to the question. The Gemara starts off with answer number one, meaning the two answers to the question, if you actually feel that the first hekesh is a bona fide hekesh. So the Gemara says number one, mekamusu degamri ma'adade. Answer number one is like this. Look, what are we learning? Step number one, we're learning how many hazas that are done. Okay, that's a number. Step number two is, and where the hazas are done, meaning you're doing it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you're doing it in the Heichal. Those are two different issues. So in other words, compound hekesh would be problematic if we're basically learning the halacha here through a hekesh and taking that halacha and moving it now to a second location via hekesh. Good. So that is that's where you violate this double hekesh rule. However, over here, the first hekesh is giving us the number. Second hekesh is giving us location. Two different issues, not a violation of compound hekesh. That's approach number one. Approach number two, Ibai Seima, Chutz Mipnim Bechadazim Nagamar. Okay, the second approach over here, a little bit tricky, admittedly, but basically all these halachas are learnt, learnt at the same time. Meaning that it's not a double hekesh, it's really the two hekeshim are basically all coming together at one nexus point. So that means to say that, look, we're learning not only how many hazas are done, right? It's 1 in 7, and we need the hekesh in order to fill in the blanks, and we're also doing it both in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal, and all that is coming together simultaneously. Okay, now, I spent a lot of time trying to understand how that works over here. It really is two psukim, and it's really two different hekeshim. And how the Gemara is able to say that this is all simultaneous hekesh, and therefore doesn't violate the rule of the double hekesh, I'm still working on trying to wrap my head around it. I don't fully understand it. Rashi does spend, Rashi spends a good amount of time trying to explain it, but that's basically what it comes out to. The Gemara says that this is simultaneously learnt, and therefore doesn't violate the rule of a double hekesh. Okay, Tana. Next. Next topic of discussion is as follows. So, we have our Kohen Gadol now with the Dam of the Par standing in the Heichal opposite the Paroches, and he's sprinkling to the Paroches. Okay, now by the Aron, here's what we all learned together. You're not hitting the Aron with the blood. The blood is going to land in a row, in a straight line, and it's going to be on the floor in front of the Aron. Good, that's what we learned a couple days ago. By the Paroches, same. It's going to be sprinkling of the blood in the direction of the parochis, but not hitting the parochis, or it's going to actually hit the parochis. Stay tuned. That's going to be our next discussion. Tana, kishu mazeinu mazeh ala parochis, ela keneged ha-parochis. So it's a machlokas hatanayim. Tana Kama says that it's going to be in front of the parochis. The blood is intent to land directly in front, but not land on the parochis. Amar Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi, ani reisi b'Romi. So Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi says, you know, I visited Rome, and we'll get to the behind the scenes in terms of why. But I visited Rome, and v'hayu aleha kama tipe damim shalpar v'sir shal yom kippurim, and I saw the paroches. So when the Romans conquered the second base of Mikdash, and they took the kelim of the base of Mikdash back to Rome, and in my visit to Rome, so I saw empirical evidence that that the blood was sprinkled on the paroches, and therefore I know better. Meaning it lands actually on the paroches itself. Now, wait 1 second, give me just a moment. Vidilma par helam davishal sibor si irei avodah zarah havu. So the Gemara says, okay, but there are other candidates of blood that's sprinkled on the paroches. Notably, the par helam davishal sibor and the si'ir of avodah zarah. Si'ir of avodah zarah, we just read about in Parsha Shlach. Parhelm davar shel tzibor, it's in Vayikra, in the first Parsha. Parsha's Vayikra. And those are two what's called chatos apnimios. Chatos where the blood is sprinkled in the Heichal. Now, for both of these, they're not brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The dam being sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is exclusive to Yom Kippur. However, the parhelm davar shel tzibor and the Sira Avodah Zarah is sprinkled in the Heichal opposite the paroches. And so the Gemara says, good. Look, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi. I get it. You were in Rome and you saw the paroches, but you don't know where the blood came from, meaning it could have come from one of these other karbanos. So his response is, dechaza de avide, it's not his response, but it's the Gemara saying this is what he would have responded. Dechaza de avide kesidran. It was in a row. In other words, instructions of the Hazal Yom Kippur is that it goes in a row, in a line, like we described last number of days. And so I saw it in that format, and so therefore I'm pretty convinced that it was the blood of the par in the seer of Yom Kippur. Okay, comes out now over here that we have a machlokas hatanayim in terms of whether it's seeing the parochas or not. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi has what he feels is empirical evidence. Okay, let's just go quickly go behind the scenes. Why is Rav Elazar Rav Yossi visiting Rome? This is a Gemara in Me'ila. We did it together a couple years ago. Rashi over here takes us back. Maseches Me'ila. I'm going to read the Rashi. Rashi over here cites the Gemara in Me'ila Yud Zayin. So it's all going to come back once you start hearing the story. So Gabi Ben Tam Yon. Rabbi Yossi was sent to Rome, a number of decrees that were made by the Romans against the Jews. The Gemara Me'ila actually goes through it, what the Xeris were. So an envoy of Rabbi Elazar Rav Yossi was sent to basically try to talk the Romans out of it. Okay, good luck. But he had help. So on his way there, he was met by a shade, and the shade said, I'll help you. Okay, he didn't love, if I remember the Gemara well, which I don't, but he didn't love the idea that he's going to be helped by a shade. Okay, Avram Avinu had Malachim. He's got Shadim helping him. Okay, but nevertheless, so this shade went with him. And when he got there, so what the shade did is he possessed the daughter of the Roman Caesar. And so the Roman Caesar saw that his daughter was sick. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi said, you know, I can help. And he did. And he exorcised the shade from the daughter. And the Roman Caesar said, oh, you know what? I'm really, really appreciative. You go down to my treasury house. You do whatever you want over there. You take whatever you want. It's all good. He went into the treasury house. And now we'll pick it up in Rashi. Lo haya chafetz ela lito misham, igor shekasu gzeru shegazru al Yisrael. And those decrees, which were documents. So he got to the documents and he tore it up. Right? You see this by Megillas Esther as well. Meaning so much of the decrees is based on, it's all predicated on what was written. And I know it sounds simple. Like it's almost like too simple. Like you tear up the letter. Okay, that's it. Good. Gzeru is gone. Right? Now they're not going to enforce it. Okay. Anyway, umatzam v'karum v'shamra'a klei beis hamikdash ba'otzar. And while he was there, so now he got, unfortunately, to tour some of the kelim of the beis hamikdash, and that's where he saw the parochas. Okay. Yeah, Ben. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if I can speak on behalf of Rav Elazar Rav Yossi, which I have no right to do, but he'll tell you, yeah, but we're talking about droplets of blood that are configured in a way of how the Kohen Gadol would have sprinkled it. That's probably what he would say. Okay, so that is all version. Now it's one of those, again, I know we've hit a lot of these lately, it's one of those strange machloksim where they have one position, you have another position, and the attempt to give empirical evidence based on, I saw the parochas. Now, it happens to be over here, I could totally see both sides of it really, really easily. Because, look, you have this all the time, and I'm not an archaeologist, right? on any level, right? I do none of it. But you find something, and then what you do is that you create a narrative around that which you find. Okay, it happens. And so over here, I understand it's pretty good evidence, but at the same time, however, the Chachamim would say back to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, look, I'm so happy you found it. I'm so happy you found blood on it. But like Ben just said a moment earlier, like, okay, you found blood on it. But it could very well be that the source of that blood just simply has nothing to do with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Meaning you didn't see the actual avoda being done, and all you do now is have a little bit of evidence, and now you want to create a narrative around the evidence. So the Chachamim will say, okay, that's very nice. Doesn't have to be that way. Okay, we're going to get now a slightly different version of this discussion that we had. V'tanan nami gabi par helam davishol tzibor ki gavna. We have another braisa. The braisa over here is going to basically recount the same thing, but not regarding the par in the seer of Yom Kippur, but rather regarding par helam davishol tzibor. And here we go with the braisa. So when they would sprinkle the parham davashot tzibor, just as a reminder to everyone, that's when the Jewish people are violating a chait, a significant chait, Because the Beis Din made a mistake. They came out with an erroneous psak. So the rov of Kal Yisrael followed that psak. So now the halach is that a parhelm davar shel tzibur is brought. In the Masechta of Horios, we spent a lot of time discussing this particular carbon. It's a unique carbon, one of the Chatos Panimios. Anyway, you sprinkle it opposite the Parochis. And again over here, same Machlokis. Tanakama says in front of the Parochis, but it doesn't actually hit the Parochis. Amre belaz Rav Yosef ani rasi barom meva hayu ala kamiti pidam shel parhelm davar shel tzibur v'sirei avodah zarah. And again, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi recounts his visit to Rome where he saw it, and he said there was blood on the parochas. So the Gemara says, that's wonderful. V'delma depar v'sir shuyama kippurim ninu. Now in this braisa, the subject was parhelm davar shel tzibur. So now the counter argument would be, you don't know that's parhelm davar shel tzibur. It could be the par v'yom kippur. So dechazino David shelo kisidron. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he's ready to argue, no, it was the parhelm davar shel tzibur. Why? Because the blood was not in a row. It was not configured the way that the Kohen Gadol would have been doing it on Yom Kippur. It is configured in a random, splotting of the parochas. And so therefore, it's the parhelm davar shel tzibur. Okay. Again, same basic discussion. Instead of the par and seer of Yom Kippur, rather it was the parhelm davar shel tzibur. Good. Okay. That's basically the first half of today's daf. Now, second half of today's daf. Okay, a number of cases of sfeikos. In fact, there's going to be, right, I counted it out for today, four different cases of sfeikos. Number one, I don't know. I didn't look up the Rambam. I'm sure the Rambam takes a position. I happen not to have looked it up. Sorry, but the. Again, same point. In other words, just because you see it, there's not one conclusion. There could be multiple conclusions. So Tosos, I didn't bring it up. Okay, now I'll tell you. So Tosos is bothered by the fact that Parham Dava Shel Tzibur did not exist during the second base of Mikdash. So Tosos, right here in our daf. So he's bothered by the fact that that if there was a Parham Dava Shel Tzibur, it was whatever for technical rules. So Tosa says, this second version is really, it's really challenging, because the only parhelm davar shel tzibur is in the first base of Mikdash, and the first base of Mikdash, there was no paroches, and Tosa really struggles, in that regard. Okay. I gave you a little more information. Okay. Next, we have now, four sfeikos. Sfeik number one. Okay, what happened is that the bloods got mixed up. What are we talking about? So Rashi over here writes, and this Rashi is going to be a little bit challenging, but I'm going to present the Gemara today like Rashi, I always do, right, from a Daf Yomi format. So Rashi writes, Damim B'damim, Shal Parv, Shal Sir, Kodem Shanasan, Bifnim Klum. Like he hasn't even gone to the Kodesh HaKadashim yet, and now the bloods got mixed together. Now what makes this Rashi so difficult is if you remember the Seder Ayom, this is almost impossible to happen. Meaning, first the par is shechted, and then the blood is sprinkled. Only after the blood of the par is sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then and only then, do you even shecht the se'ir. So how you ever get into the scenario where you have the par and the se'ir, and you haven't gotten to the Kodesh HaKadoshim yet? So the Rashi's challenging. Okay, and at least for the Daf Yomi format, we're not going to go through the challenges. I'll just explain the Gemara Kipshuto the way Rashi has it. Anyway, he's got two bowls of blood, one of the parm, one of the seer, and now he confused the two. He doesn't know which one's which. Okay, good. So there are easier ways. Perfect. So there are easy ways to identify which one's which, both in terms of volume and in terms of color. There are ways to identify it. Okay, the Gemara over here is really just, if I may suggest, it's just more abstracting in terms of how would I deal with the suffix if I couldn't identify which one's which. Okay. So anyway, Nisarvo damim b'damim, Amar Rava nosin achas amala v'sheva. Now Nisarvo, I'm sorry, right? I jumped ahead to the next suffix. The suffix over here is that they get mixed together. In other words, the bloods now, right? This answers your question. The bloods over here, but your question's going to come back later. The bloods over here get mixed together. Okay, so now they get mixed together. So what do I do? So Rava has a solution. So Nisarvelo damim medamim amar Rava nosin achas amala v'sheva lamata v'ole lo lekan lekan. Well, look, you know what you're going to do over here? It's obviously not the best way to do it. The Torah gives very clear instructions of what to do. They should be sprinkled separately, but if they get mixed together, so do one above, do seven below. And what we're going to assume over here is that when they got mixed together, there was an even distribution when they were mixed together. The idea of Bila. So there was an even distribution when mixed together. So when you're sprinkling, so you just sprinkled both the par and the seir. So you did one lamala and you do sheva lamata and the covers for everything. That's Rava's solution. It's really simple. And Amru Kameh de Rabbi Yirmiya. And they said over Rava's solution in front of Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya is going to have a really sharp response to this solution. And to say it simply, Rabbi Yirmiya does not like it. Amar. And he quips, Bavlai Tivshai. You know those foolish Babylonians? I'm being nice in my translation. So Mishum Dedari Ba'ari Dechashuch HaMishmaita Demechashchan. They live in the dark areas and they say things that are not enlightened. Okay? So HaKayav Lamala Desir Mikame Mata Depar V'atara Amra V'chila Mechaper Zekodesh Kila Dama Par V'achar Kach Kila Dama Seir. And Rav Yirmiya comes back with what is a really, really strong point. And that is that if in the case of bloods got mixed together, and I did the one lamala, and that covers both the dam and the seir, so what am I now doing? I'm doing the lamala of the seir before I finish the dam par. You can't do that, says Rav Yirmiya. That's totally unacceptable. So and typical. This is Rav Yirmiya talking. And typical Babylonian, and that's the kind of argument that he's going to say. Okay. So I'm going to come back to that line of Rav Yirmiya in just a moment. Okay, so Rav Yirmiya is going to give a different solution. Ela amar Rav Yirmiya nosin achas amala v'sheva lamata l'shem apar v'chozev nosin achas amala v'sheva lamata l'dam ha-se'ir or l'shem ha-se'ir. So Rav Yirmiya says, here's what you're going to do. You'll take your mixture, your blended bloods of dam and se'ir, and you'll do one lamala, seven lamata with the intent of that's my dam par. You'll review, you'll repeat, and with the intent of that's now going to be my dam seir. Good. That's Rav Yirmiya's solution to it. Okay. That is suffix number one. And the machlok is between Rav and Rav Yirmiya in terms of how to attack this suffix. Okay. Here we get to a really interesting point. I mean, so many interesting things in today's daf. Here we get to a really interesting point in today's daf, and that is the Ritva. The Ritva in today's daf, right? I didn't look it up last night, but this Ritva is quoted again and again. All right, I've seen inside numerous times. Okay, but I should have looked it up again last night. But anyway, the Ritva writes the following. He quotes the Rambam. Okay, the Ritva lived a couple hundred years after the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam. The Rambam, we don't have the Rambam in the original, but this is the Ritva quoting the Rambam. And he says like this. Now, you see over here that Rav Yirmiya basically is dismissive of the entire Babylonian Beis Medrash and Rabbanim. He simply was not impressed with them. Rav Yirmiya was an Amor in Eretz Yisrael. Rava obviously representing an Amor in Bavel. And you see, Rav Yirmiya says, they don't know what they're doing. Okay, so it really begs the question. Meaning, there were two Talmuds that were composed. Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi. Right? Which one are we learning? Yeah, it's the one we learn every day. We learn Talmud Bavli. Right? It's on the cover. Right. And what do we not learn? Talmud Yerushalmi. We didn't make this decision. This decision goes back all the way to the time of the Rishonim, the Gaonim, meaning they spent the bulk of their time learning Talmud Bavli, not Talmud Yerushalmi. So over here, so you see that the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael were, quite frankly, unimpressed with the Chachmei Bavel. And so if this is the information that's given to us, and if we were to choose, like, which Talmud should we learn, seems like the better choice would have been to learn Talmud Yerushalmi, not Talmud Bavli. Why did Klal Yisrael accept the Talmud Bavli and not Talmud Yerushalmi? Meaning, and please don't misunderstand, we accept the Talmud Yerushalmi, right? It's right, learning Talmud Yerushalmi is part and parcel of Limud HaTorah. But in terms of where we're putting all of our emphasis on, we're putting on the Talmud Bavli, not the Talmud Yerushalmi. How do we get to that point? So the Rambam writes, I'll say famously, but it's only because I know it, but the Rambam writes, so you have to look at the period of the Amoraim. Meaning in the earlier generations of the Amoraim, so certainly there was a stronger, more confident Limud HaTorah that was taking place in Eretz Yisrael over that of Bavel. And the Rambam attributes that to the difficulties of those that were living in Bavel. However, over the period of time, the period of the Amoraim extended about 300 years from the conclusion of the Mishnah, which is about the end of the second century, and then it covered the third, fourth, and fifth century, approximately. So by the end of the Tkufa of the Amoraim, so basically it moved over to Bavel, right? The proficiency, the scholarship, right? The Chachma really moved over to Bavel. And so by the time you got to Ravina Ravashi, so now the stronger limud was done in Bavel over that of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so, and when we're hearing Rav Yirmiyah and Rava, so we're still in that middle area where Rav Yirmiyah clearly was of the position that the learning was stronger in Eretz Yisrael than that of Bavel. But when you move to the end of the Tkufa, so everything moved over towards Bavel. That is the Ritva in today's daf, quoting the Rambam. Okay, a really interesting point. Okay, let's continue. That was suffix number one. We're up to suffix number two. Suffix number two, Nisavrilo damim b'damim b'matanos achronos. Okay, so now, let's say we have the following. We have the bloods getting mixed up, but after you did lamala, and now you're up to the lamata, and before you got to do the lamata, so the bloods got mixed up together. Now what do you do? So when I say you did the lamala, specifically you did the par lamala. So now you got the lamatas of the par, and you got the lamala and lamata of the seir. So now what do you do? This is suffix number two. So savar rapapa kami de revela meimer nosein sheva lamata l'shem par u l'shem seir v'chosev nosein achas lamala l'shem seir. So rapapa says to Rava, okay, good, I got this one worked out. So what you'll do is you'll do the seven lamata, having in mind both par and seir, and then you'll just hit the lamala for the lamala of the seir. So Amalei Rava. So Rava says, let's not go there. Don't suggest that. Rava says, An Hashakarlan Tifshai. You know, I heard what they're saying. I heard what they're saying in Eretz Yisrael about us, right? These foolish Babylonians. Like I've already heard the criticism. V'hasha Tifshai Tifshai Dikamigmirin Lo V'Logmiri. And now here's what you're suggesting, Rav Papa, right? We're going to sprinkle the seven lamata with both of mine, and then we're going to go back to the seir. Now, like in other words, they're going to say in Eretz Yisrael, those Babylonians don't know how to learn their lesson. So kayav mata desir mikame mala mala desir, and now you're doing, because in your solution, Rav Papa, you're going to be doing the seven of the seir, which is lamata, before the lamala of the seir. Like, don't suggest that, because they're just going to criticize us more in Eretz Yisrael. Now here, Rava says to Rav Papa, it's unequivocal. You got to do the lamala before the lamata. Okay, so elam Rava. So Rava says, okay, so what you'll do is as follows: no saying sheva lamata l'shem par v'chosiv, no saying achas lamala v'sheva lamata l'shem seir. So you'll sprinkle seven lamata with the only kavana of the par, and then you'll review lamala, one lamala for the seir, and seven lamata for the seir. Okay. Another really big part of today's daf, obviously over here, are issues of kavanah and baltosif. Meaning because, let me hold that thought. I'll introduce it in just a moment. Okay. That was suffix number two. Suffix number three, as we are now in the top of Nizayin Amud Beis, three lines down. Nisarvu lukosos bekosos. So nosin v'chosin v'nosin v'chosin v'nosin shlosha pa'amim. Cups get confused. I don't know which cup is which. Okay, now Ben, I'll reopen your question, but I'll just give you the same answer. Not a great answer, but how the cups get confused, it's hard to say. In other words, the volume is different, the color is different. Okay, the cups got confused. The Kohen Gadol no longer knows which cup is the goat and which cup is the bull, and this is before he did any sprinkling whatsoever. So now what is he going to do? So over here, the Gemara has a solution, not even open for a discussion. Gemara just gives us a really quick solution, and that is do the Hazah with the two cups, and do it three times. Okay? You figured it out yet? I'm going to explain. Why are you going to do it three times? I don't know which cup belongs to the par, and I don't know which cup belongs to the seer. So by going ABA, so now, whichever one is which, you got it right. In other words, if you do ABA, right? 1-7 for A, 1-7 for B, and then 1-7 for A. So now, if A was the par, so then your AB was your proper hazah, done in the proper sequence. If the first one you did was a seir, so let's basically just ignore it, and then the BA is going to turn out to be your par and seir. Okay, done in the proper sequence. Now is the right time to introduce the question about Tosif, meaning, so now you're doing more than what you're supposed to do. And so a big discussion, and I'm just raising it. I'm not having the big discussion, but a big discussion to be had over here is that, are you violating Baal Tosif if you're doing something because you're trying to satisfy various sfeikos, various doubts? I'll give you a simple example. Okay, like I said, it's so funny. I said I'm not going to discuss it, but I'm just going to give one example. I'll give you an example. So how do we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah? So first of all, we blow a lot of shofar in Rosh Hashanah. And I have the privilege of being a Baal Tokeya, and boy, do we blow a lot. So the minhag amongst the Rishonim was to blow on Rosh Hashanah, right? Some had the minhag to blow 42 times and whatever. The 100 that we blow nowadays, which is a ubiquitous minhag to blow, but it wasn't at a point in time, it wasn't ubiquitous. Anyway, how many times the Torah wants us to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So the correct answer is 9 times. That's impressive. We go from 9 to 100. Okay, we go to 9. But the jump from 9 to 30 is because we're not sure how that middle blast is supposed to go, meaning it's shvarim, it's a broken blast, but there are different ways to do it. In fact, 3 different ways to do it. You could do a shvarim, you could do a trua, you could do shvarim trua. So different ways to do it. So what do we do? So we go through every permutation. We do a tekiah shvarim trua, tekiah shvarim tekiah. We do a tekiah trua tekiah. We do a tekiah shvarim trua tekiah. And isn't that a violation of Baal Tosif? So the basic approach is that no. In other words, I'm doing all of them because we're not sure which one is the correct one. And so out of the suffix, we do all of them. So under those circumstances, it's not going to be Baal Tosif. Similarly over here, right? So it's a pretty good comparison. Similarly over here. So because the Kohen Gadol confused which blood belongs to which, so he'll do ABA. He's doing more than he needs to do. Yeah, but he's doing it because of a suffix and he's trying to cover his bases. Okay, that's the basic discussion to be had. Again, there's a lot more details, but it's a good starting point. Okay, our fourth and final suffix for the day. Good. Our fourth and final suffix for the day is the following. So remember, number one, the bloods get mixed up into one bowl. Number two, they get mixed up, but after he did the hazal lamala of the par. Number three is that he confused which bowl belongs to which animal. Number four. Our fourth suffix for today, mixes damim nisarvulo, mixes damim lo nisarvulo. So, he's got now the cup of the par, knows exactly which one it is. He has the cup of the seer, he knows exactly which one it is. And now a third cup. Now, I don't know how there is a third cup now appearing, but there's a third cup and that third cup has a mixture of the par and the seer. I'm not really sure how we got to this point in time. There will come a point later in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim where the bloods will get mixed up together, but that's later. It's not now. I don't know. Maybe the Kohen Gadol just, got a little bit ahead of himself. Remember, he's tired. He's a little bit groggy, sleep deprived, food deprived. Okay, whatever. Again, the Gemara over here, we could just understand the Gemara from the more abstract level of what happens now when now I have three cups. One which he knows is a dam par, and the other one he knows is a dam seer, and then there's a third cup with a mixture of some of the dam par and some of the dam seer. So what do you do under those circumstances? So the Gemara says, well, let's start off easy. And that is that, look, two of the cups he knows exactly where they are. And so that's not even open for a discussion. So, pshita ki yaiv miva dan yaiv. So in terms of the sprinkling, so obviously you start with the cups of the dam and the seer, the ones that are known, and you do the hazahs as instructed by the Torah. That's easy. What is open for discussion? So, mihu, hanich shiraim havali yasod azle. So now, the mixed bloods that are in this third cup, so do they have the classification of shiraim? Now, what happens to shiraim? So what happens to shiraim of dam of echatos apnimios and the karbonos of Yom Kippur are echatos apnimios is it's poured on the yesod of the mizbeach. The yesod, the foundation of the outer mizbeach. So now these bloods in the third cup, does it have the status of shiraim? That's our question, which we're not sure about. Odilma dechuyin haviva azula ama. Or maybe no. Maybe it's rejected blood. Rejected blood is disposed of. So there is a canal in the Azara, in which any blood that's disqualified is disposed in that canal. Okay, so is it Shirayim blood or is it blood which is rejected? That's our question. And that's what the Gemara is going to be spending the rest of today discussing. Okay, good. So the Gemara is going to discuss. So Amara. Huh? The Shirayim goes on the Yesod. All the Shirayim of all the blood that is sprinkled is going to go on the Yesod. And so the question of the Gemara is that this third cup now, which has a Tarovis of the two bloods, is that also going to go on the Yesod?
What went on the Yesod? Something has to go on the
Yesod. No. Again, this is a Chatzos HaPnimios, which means that the blood is sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Heichal, on the Mizbech HaPnimi, and then whatever blood is left over is going to be poured al Yesod HaMizbech. The Yesod... So then you have this third cup with this mixed blood, and the Gemara wants to know, is this Shirayim or is it Dichui? That's the Gemara's question. So Amra, Papa Filaman, Amra Kos Acher, Echad Ose Chaver Shirayim. So he says, look, there's a Machlokas. Now, the Gemara, this is standard operating procedure of the Gemara. The Gemara expects us to know the Machlokas even before we were formally introduced to the Machlokas, right? In order to learn Gemara, you got to know Gemara, right? It's cyclical, but that's just simply how it works. We're going to see the Machlokas in just a minute. So anyway, so if you don't fully understand right now, that's fine. We'll see the Machlokas in a moment. Even if I say that Kos Echad Ose Chaver Shirayim, that one cup makes the other cup Shirayim, again, you don't fully understand that yet. Hold that thought. So Hani Milehecha Di'i Bai L'Mesav Matzi Yahiv, but that's when both cups are eligible to sprinkle with. Avahai Di'i Bai L'Mesav L'Matzi Yahiv, lo. But over here, this third cup, can I sprinkle from the third cup? The answer is no. Meaning I have the two cups, the cup which I know is part of the cup that I know is the ear. Those are the two cups in which I'm going to be sprinkling from. When I say I mean the Kohen Gadol. So this third cup over here, it's not eligible to sprinkle at least the first two, this first two set, the second two set, the third set. So over here, I can argue that this is really rejected. So Amalei Revuna Bered Rav Yishul Rav Papa Adar Abba Filaman Demar Kos Echad Ose Chaver Dichui. So, and the Gemara says, no, I can make a total counter argument. Even if I subscribe to the idea that the second cup is rejected again. The second cup referring to the Machlokas, which we haven't seen yet. But we're going to see it in just a moment. Even if I hold the second cup is rejected, Hani Mila Didachi B'Yadayim. That's because I actively rejected the second cup. Aval Hechad Olo Dachi B'Yadayim Lo. But over here, the third cup on Yom Kippur. It wasn't actively rejected. It was a mistake. It was an accident. The Kohen Gadol by accident mixed up the bloods into this third cup. And so I can make the argument that since it wasn't actively rejected, so therefore it still has the status of being Shirayim. Okay, good. So basically the Gemara is saying, I could see two sides of this argument. Now, what machlokas are we making reference to? So I'm glad you asked, the Tanya. So here the Gemara now is going to formally introduce us to the following. Lamalu omer ve'es dam yishpoch, ulamatu omer ve'es kol dama yishpoch. So what do I do with the remaining blood? So we have two psukim. Both in the fourth parak of Vayikra, one says that you spill the blood, and the other pasuk says you spill all the blood. Well, which one is it? Some of the blood, all the blood. So let's say you do the following: you shech the carbon chatas, standard carbon chatas, and you collect the blood not in one bowl but in four different bowls. I don't know why the Kohen's doing that. Unclear what he gained from that. Doesn't matter. He collected four different bowls. Okay. And so now with the blood of the chatas collected in four different bowls, so now this is going to be a creative way of doing the hazah. So you know with the chatas, you got to hit all four corners. So he'll take the blood from one bowl and hit one corner, and from the second bowl, hitting a second corner and fine. Now there in that scenario, if he did that, that's not the way that it's normally done. It's normally collected in one bowl, and from that one bowl, you're hitting all four corners. But if he did it in this manner, so clearly any of the leftover blood is going to qualify as Shirayim, because each one of the cups was used for Hazah. Now, Yachla Filonasan Arba Matanus Ba'ame Achas Mem, so Tamalamar Vez Dama Yishbach, Hunishbach Lisov, Einishbach Na'ama. However, if let's say the blood was collected in four bowls, and now the Kohen says, you know what, okay, but I'm only sprinkling from one bowl. Okay, fine. And he does. So now the other three bowls, are they considered Shirayim? So the Tana Kama says no. Since the other three bowls were not used for Zrika, therefore they are not considered Shirayim, and therefore they're going to be disposed of. And that's the other pasuk of Es Damo Yishpoch, meaning you'll spill some of the blood down the Yisrael, but not all the blood in that scenario. That is all the Shita of the Tana Kama. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minayin Lechatzah Shekibal Dama Barba Kosef Vanasan Arba Matanos Me'achad Me'en Shekul Nishpach Liyasod. Now Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon simply disagrees. He says, no, even though the blood was collected in four different bowls, and I only sprinkled from one bowl, they're all the blood of all the bowls are going to have the status of being Shirayim, and they're all going to be poured down the Yisod. So Tamalam Reves called Dama Yishpoch. Now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon argues, that part we know clearly, he also is ignoring a pasuk. Like, what is he doing with that other pasuk? That's Gemara's follow-up question. Ula Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ha haksiv es damo yishpoch. So I'm Rav Ashi, lemuti shirayim shebetzav Rabbi Shebehema. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon has a different drasha for that pasuk. Meaning if there's any blood in the neck of the animal, that's not going to qualify shirayim. Okay, it's a little bit hard to understand. Meaning the only blood that qualifies as dam, which is mechaper, is dam nefesh, and that's the blood that comes out in the rush immediately after shechita. If there's any blood left over in the neck, That has the status of dama nefesh. I'm not sure. The Gemara seems to entertain yes. Anyway, you don't have to follow all my thoughts, and I don't need to express every one of my thoughts. So, but anyway, what comes out over here is that it's a machlokus whether or not if you collected the blood of the chatas in four bowls and you sprinkled only using one of the bowls, are the other three bowls shirayim? Yes or no? Machlokus between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. And now we can work backwards. Now we know this machlokus. So now in our scenario where you have three bowls, one dam par, the other dam seer, and the other a collection of those two bloods. So are they going to get sprinkled now? They're not going to get sprinkled. Are they going to have the status of shirayim? So the Gemara says, you know, I can argue. I can argue if I subscribe to the Tana Kama. I can even argue if I subscribe to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, even though I have the machlokas of the Tana Kama and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, in this scenario over here, it still remains unclear. Let's review. In the beginning of today's daf, we covered the following, that the hazars that are done, after the set of the hazars are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, now the hazars are done in the Heichal facing the Paroches. So number one, quantity. How much hazars are done? Answer is very simple. Same number as is done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We learned it via a Hekesh. Aren't we creating a compound Hekesh? The Gemara said no. Okay, good. It's a really nice way to summarize. Oh, the summary's so great. I could just say, you know, give straightforward answers. No, it's not a double hekesh. Why isn't it a double hekesh? Okay, go back over the daf. Sprinkling opposite the paroches. Are you doing it now, hitting the paroches? Machlokes hatanayim. Tanakama says, you're not hitting the paroches. It's in front of the paroches. You're not hitting it. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're hitting the paroches. How does he know that? He saw the paroches. He went to Rome. He had a meet with the Caesar. Okay, without going through all the details of the story, he saw the paroches over there, the one that was taken in the conquest of the second base of Mikdash, and there was blood over there. Ah, it means that the Kohen Gadol hit the paroches. And again, the counter argument is very simple. You're right. I know you saw, but you don't know what you saw. You're right. Yeah. Right. You don't know the backstory. You don't have enough information. Okay. Good. And that was our second big discussion. And our last big discussion of the day, which took us through the rest of today's daf, is the four sfeikos of the dam. You have the dam, the par, and dam si, or suffix number one. The bloods get mixed together. So how do you do now the hazas when they get mixed together? So Rava suggested, okay, so just do one above, one below, seven below, and that'll cover both the par and seer. And Rabbi Yirmiyah hears that, and Rabbi Yirmiyah says, oh, no, that's not the way you do it. Rav Yirmi gives a different solution. What if you already did the dampar? This is number two. What if you already did the lamala of the dampar and they get mixed together? So what do you do under those circumstances? So Rav and Rav Papa discuss, and Rav says to Rav Papa, look, right, your suggestion is no good. Remember the criticism I received from Eretz Yisrael? I'm going to receive even more criticism. Suffolk number three, Kohen Gadol got confused which blood belongs to which. Which bowl belongs to which animal? So what do? You do ABA. ABA, and therefore, whichever way it works, it's gonna be covered. Good. That was the suffix number three. Suffix number four. You know the blood of the par, you know the blood of the seer, but then for whatever reason, I really struggled to give a good reason of why it happened, but for whatever reason, some of the bloods of the two get mixed into a third bowl. And the question now is, that third bowl have the status of Shirayim? And the answer is Safek. Machlokas. Okay. Adkan.